I will have to be sure to tell Doug that not only do we have a great organist, Miss Debbie, helping us today, but you are all in full throat singing your praises to God. So a great glory to him, and I know Doug will be really pleased, and we are grateful for you, Miss Debbie. Thank you very, very much. Today we are looking at the, trying to weave together our three scripture readings, but for the most part we want to focus in on the one phrase that comes to us from the epistle reading, and that is we take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. And I want just to ask for a little bit of help because my remote isn't quite working. If we could go to that next slide, please, I'd appreciate it. And these, I would ask for your help if we could read this together. Can we do that? Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against our soul. Well, that's our verse that's going to trigger things for us and get us going. And one of the first things we need to notice as we look at all this together is this sense that Jesus is the one who comes to save and to shine. If we move to the next slide, we can see a verse from the Old Testament scripture that we have today where God said to Jesus, he said, it's too light a thing that you should be my servant and raise up the tribes of Jacob to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you a light for the nations that my salvation may reach the end of the earth. Jesus comes and he saves and he shines. He's that light. He's the one that John the Baptist saw and said, look, the Lamb of God. He's the one that you and I see hanging on the cross, rising again from the dead. And he is the one that really is the light for the entire world, shining for all of us. That's his blessing and the gift that he gives. And how exactly does Jesus accomplish that? He goes about his saving through sacrifice. He does that as he comes. And there, when he's giving his baptism, when he's coming to be baptized, all of it's sacrifice. He doesn't need a baptism. He's perfect. He's a true God and true man. Yet he does it so he can sacrifice, so he can go lower than any and all of us to offer his gift and his blessing to us. How do we see him do that? We see him do it as the Lamb of God. John talked about it in the gospel reading. He sacrifices himself. I don't know how well you can see this little picture, but that's a lamb that's been sacrificed, and the blood that has come from the lamb is in the shape of the world. See North America there? See the South America, Africa, even little Australia? The lamb who comes to take away the sin of the world. It was a tough thing. It wasn't just love and Hallmark cards and warm greetings and light. It involved his blood, his sweat, his tears from the cross, his prayers, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It was his sacrifice. He died so that you and I can live, and he was willing to do it. His blood was shed for all of us. And the result of that, of course, now is that we're God's people. We are, as we heard there in 1 Peter chapter 2, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession. You're his, and he is your Father and our God. He's given us that gift. He's made us his sacrifice, and we are the children that are formed by that, the children of God that God has loved, and then he wants us to join his family business, if you will. He wants us to be on the same mission with him. Once you haven't received mercy, but now we have. We're God's people, and he made us that way. And we are people, though, not just to sit around, not just to do what we want, not just to sort of enjoy, but again, on the mission with him, together in his family, we are people with a purpose. And it's probably a good thing for us to sort of sit here in the beginning of the year and think of that purpose, a reminder of that as we go forward and think of our role as God's people at Gethsemane and out in the world in 2020. First of all, I think we're part of his people is to praise him. To praise him as we heard again in 1 Peter chapter 2, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. We enjoy that presence. We sing as we've done today, again, with such enthusiasm. We also offer prayers of thanks. But it isn't just the churchy things that we do. You know, when we're out there, whether it's we're working on a car or we're crunching numbers in a spreadsheet, whatever way we're using our brains to do good work, whatever way we are using our heart and our hands, you know, baking some goodies for somebody in need or someone that's hurting, every single way you and I do good, we're praising God. We're praising the God who's called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's the gift that he offers to us. And that's the opportunity that's waiting there for us. And besides praising him, the second thing I think we get to do is we get to shine. We shine for him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 talks about this. It says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, that they can see your good deeds. They'll notice what it is that you've done. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 expresses that. Keep your conduct honorable. They'll see your good deeds, and they will glorify God on the day that he comes back. That's how you and I shine. We shine by the simple acts of kindness that we offer to others. We shine when we are telling his praise, yes, but then we're living out that he's made a difference in our lives. And that is this incredible gift and opportunity that's there for us. But there's the curious phrase that you heard in the epistle reading, and I want to visit that with you. It's this idea that there's a war. There's a war. It doesn't always seem like it. It certainly doesn't always feel like it. We hear of it in distant lands. We hear of missiles striking here and in other places that it doesn't seem to affect us. But my friends in Christ, there is a war going on in every one of our hearts, in every one of our homes, every single day. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, there's a thief, and the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He is always attacking. He is always striving to stop us from shining. And that's why 1 Peter guides us and says, you know what? Remember this. You're exiles. You're sojourners. Exiles meaning that we have been pushed out by the world, not loved by the world, because the world has its own pattern of how it does things, just like it did Jesus. We heard that read, you know, that he's the chief stone, even though he's been rejected by the rest of the world. We get rejected too when we're trying to walk and live by God's ways. But also a phrase we don't use all that much anymore, sojourners. We're on a journey. This isn't home. As comfortable as it feels, and as comfortable as we try to make our own homes, this isn't home. There are so many times, if we're really honest and if we pause to be sensitive, we'll sense throughout the day news that we hear or actions that we see, even temptations that we feel inside ourselves and go, that's not right. That it shouldn't be like that. And it's that whisper, it's that sense of it shouldn't be like this. That's our tuned-in awareness, that we're sojourners, we're visitors here, we are traveling here, but there is another destination God has in mind, and that destination is that place where there is only light, where all shine, where there is no darkness, no sin, no death, nor suffering, nor pain. But in the meantime, while we're journeying as sojourners, we're called to abstain. Abstain. Say no to that which pollutes us. Say no to that which creates a mixed message with the other people out in the world as they look at our lives. Say no to the things that are actually waging war against us and trying to harm us and pull us away from God. Watch out for the things which war against your soul. The soul that Jesus loved, the soul that he suffered for and died for, the soul that he gave back by his sacrifice on the cross, and the soul that he promises to keep pure. Watch out for those things and wage war against our soul. And so I think really what will help us, the way we avoid that sin, the way we can get so simply avoid those things which wage war against us, is remembering our purpose, the praising and then also the shining. And when you and I do that, we change the world one person at a time, one day at a time. You know, at the end of the third century, a century when more Christians died of persecution than at any other time until the 20th century, when Christians were being set on fire and fed to wild animals, sawed in half, put out for sport in the Colosseum where they were slaughtered by others. At the end of that century, the only thing that one of the Asellus, one of the great and most systematic attacks against all of Christians, the only thing that he could accuse Christians of in that century was of ignorance and foolishness and superstition of all kind. You know what he didn't accuse Christians of? Immorality. You see, by the third century, Christianity had so grown, it was now more than 50% of the population. And the world was already changed. Within 300 years, the people of God who were choosing to praise and to shine and who were bearing witness to the Lamb of God, one day at a time, one life at a time, had changed the world. They had been shining. And one life at a time, one shining life was changed. And then on and on it goes. It still works that way. And may God help us to watch out for what wars against our souls, to seek and choose to his love and to shine and praise. And may God help us do that to his glory and to the changing of other people's lives. Amen. I invite you to